You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Welcome to another podcast of the Paranormal Portal. We are back at it again and absolutely thrilled that you guys are here with us. Thank you so much for all your kindness and support and for helping to perpetuate the Paranormal Portal podcast. I got a great show lined up for you today. My guest today has been a longtime friend of mine and of the Paranormal Portal and a many time guest himself. And he's one of those people that really will, he will forget more about Bigfoot and cryptids than I will ever learn. He's just one of those guys. And the man I'm talking about, of course, is our very own Duke Sullivan of World Bigfoot Radio. Welcome, Duke.
Hey, man. Great to be back. Always glad to have a chance to talk with you. And howdy to everybody out there listening.
Well, I appreciate you making time for us again. It's always a pleasure to have you on just because you've been at this a long time. And you not only are passionate about the subject, but you are very much involved in the community and in the stuff going on around all over the place. And it's just this really neat network of friends and professional contacts that you've developed over this time. And I'm always amazed at what you're pulling out of the hat next, you know. It's like a magic trick.
Frequently it is. You know, sometimes I have good guests lined up and I've got an idea and I'm ready to go with the show. You know how well that usually works out. in my case, I actually don't have to do it live. And so the show doesn't have control. I do, kind of. But a lot of times what happens is you've got a plan and then all of a sudden out of the left field, somebody you don't even know will contact you and go, hey, Duke, blah, 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 this and that and the other thing. And you start talking to them and they start sending you pictures and video and stuff. And you're like, oh, OMG, I need to have this person on my show next. So, you know, you end up with things that you don't really expect. An example of that would be the spring when I did the show on Lone Star Puckwidgies. First of all, you don't expect that cryptid in Texas. And secondly, when he contacted me initially, he wasn't even sure what he was dealing with. He had seen them a couple times and they were a little, you know, kind of on the short side, running around in the dark so fast he couldn't tell what it was. And he thought maybe, you know, a little baby Sasquatch or something or messing around on the property. Mm-hmm. Well, then when he started talking more to his girlfriend and got more of the background and the information on what was going on and got to actually see one in the headlights of his car. yeah, those weren't baby Bigfoot. So he told me about that, and then I got really concerned. I put him in touch with another one of the people that's been a guest on your show, Robin Moonshadow. Mm-hmm. But she was indisposed at the time. She was out in the field doing field research, so I had to sort of wing it and go, well, from what she's told me and from what I know, A, stay away from them. don't go there. Don't go do research. Don't take pictures. Just stay away from them. Try and take precautions to keep them away from your house in the meantime until Robin can get back to you and hopefully have a better chance of verifying what you're dealing with. And she seemed to think it was pucks, too. So She gave them all the precautionary measures that she could think of, and hopefully they got the situation under control. But there's an example. You know, I do a Bigfoot show, and all of a sudden I'm way out in left field talking about Puckwudgies trying to invade this house and eating cats and all this other horrible stuff.
Wow. You know, and that's really incredible, too. I think that it seems these things just seem to go hand in hand. And, you know, whenever you're talking about Bigfoot, eventually you're going to end up talking about dogmen. And if you're talking about dogmen and Bigfoot, eventually you're going to talk about, you know, things like the rake or other things. It's like this whole spider web of activity that's going on around us. And it seems really kind of creepy to think that all of these things are potentially out there.
Yeah. You know, I could almost virtually quote Bear on that one in a conversation we were having where he was talking about being in a conversation with a bunch of Native elders, and they're going on and on about Bigfoot, and he was really getting into it. And yeah, I know that. And wow, that's interesting and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden they switched over to Thunderbirds. Mm. And he was just like left sitting there going, okay. And everybody else in the room kept going on like it was a real thing, just like Bigfoot.
Right.
You know, so that's really part of the problem with doing this kind of research, because there is a paranormal aspect to it. And, you know, it's supposed to be a mythical thing, and it isn't, which makes you wonder how many of these other supposedly mythical things really are real and are out there.
Yeah, you know, and, I agree. That's for very true. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it just makes you, you know, wonder where to draw the line. I like to keep an open mind and say, well, you know, show me the evidence. You got a feather from the Thunderbird?
Right.
You know, do you know where they live or where they nest? We can go there and like maybe get a picture or something. And, you know, how much information do you have on them? Have you seen one? And, you know, that sort of stuff. And you can tell, you know, after you're talking to somebody for pretty much a short time in all but the most psychopathic cases, whether they're a liar. Right. Or whether they're telling you something that they believe is true.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, you said, where's the line? And what occurred to me right away is that it's kind of like in The Matrix. There is no spoon. Well, there is no line. It just doesn't seem to be any limit to what is possible. I you know, I've had, since doing the show, I've really had to, well, first of all, when I started doing the show, I thought I was really pretty knowledgeable about all this stuff. I thought I was really plugged in and had a lot of the ideas and had a narrative that I understood. And then getting into it, hearing all of the stories, all of the testimonials, all of the encounters, all of the things people are learning and finding out, it suddenly you realize you really don't know anything.
Yeah, and the more you try and connect all the dots and stuff, the more you realize you really need to almost be like a Leonardo da Vinci type of person who's really fairly advanced knowledgeably in a multitude of different fields in order to connect the dots successfully on it, which is probably one of the reasons it isn't,
right,
you know, have the dots connected on it. So, you know, that's a big issue there, because most people nowadays, knowledge is so gigantic and broad-based that they tend to specialize a lot. So you'll have people that are, you know, are you an anthropologist? Well, I'm a cultural anthropologist. Okay, so there's all different kinds of anthropologists. So it's not just like you're an anthropologist and you know everything about anthropology. You're specialized in that field. Or, you know, somebody, mechanical physics and theoretical physics, two really different things.
Right.
You know, so it's difficult to find anybody that's experienced enough of jack of all trades to be able to connect the dots to put anything like this together. It's just horrendously complicated. The powers that be are certainly not helping the situation.
Right.
Doing everything they can to confuse it and cause problems, so that's not helping anything.
Yeah, there's plenty of stories of obfuscation by the powers that be. And that's a concerning thing all by itself, but you know, because of that, though, it's been left up to us, the laymen and the enthusiasts, to try to solve these mysteries, because there isn't a lot of help coming in, you know, from other channels. And so it's really made it, I don't know if that's good or bad or otherwise, because sometimes you get government involvement and stuff, and it really sterilizes a process and really, probably would introduce so many controls and issues that I think the research would lose its, I don't know, its vigor. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Even assuming, which I don't, that they're neutral on the whole subject, mm-hmm. the best you could expect is that they would still have ulterior motives. Like, you know, maybe you probably shouldn't find these things because then we wouldn't be able to do all this logging and all this other stuff we want to do. And,
right. There's,
you know, and then all these people that disappeared in the past, their relatives will come out of the woodwork and want to sue us because they'll claim their relatives got killed by Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And we didn't tell them that it was out there. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons that you could see that they wouldn't be neutral right from the get-go. And then there's a lot of reason to believe that they are basically not in favor of this being proven to be a real thing. And that since most scientists are working in the hallowed halls of dogmatic science and being paid their paycheck by the government, they sure as hell aren't going to step out of line and say anything about it. So the very few that we've got actually looking into this with an open mind are the ones that are in a position where they sort of can get away with it because they're not directly getting a government paycheck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or people that actually are getting a government paycheck, but are in countries outside the U.S. where they actually want you to go do research on this, like Russia.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, the funny thing is that you hear of so many more advances coming from Russia than anywhere, but yet there's such, and I don't mean to get political, but all I hear anymore is, oh, Russia this, Russia that, Russia this, in the politosphere. And, you know, they're always painting Russia as the bad guys, but it seems like they might be doing things more, you know, more sanely over there than we are over here.
I think for whatever reason, they don't have the cover-up agenda, or they have it to a much lesser extent. I mean, like, sure. You know, as you even have on your show in one of the bumpers, they recognized Bigfoot as an endangered species back in the 1960s. We haven't even done that yet.
Right.
They've got the Department of Hominology in Moscow, Russia, is attached to their Department of Evolutionists. That's government funded. Their job is to go find Bigfoot. That's what they do. You know, we don't have anything like that in this country.
No.
The best we've got is a few outsider scientists that are willing to work with us, like, you know, Jeff Meldrum.
Yeah.
One of my faves was John Bindernagle, because, of course, he actually put boots on the ground and butt in the field and did field research.
Right.
And a lot of people think there's something wrong with that. But you know what? He was a real scientist and he was out there doing field research.
Mm-hmm.
No better, no worse than anybody else that's out there with their boots on the ground trying to find evidence. And when you come down to it, the bottom line there is because you've got a sheepskin from a university with some scribbling on it saying you're exalted doesn't mean jack or S.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, are you actually going to get out there and try and find any evidence? And do you have a methodical, systematic approach to it that's going to be accepted by the dogmatic scientist, or at least the general scientific community, to take a look at and go, well, they're gathering actual evidence? Mm-hmm. That's really it. You don't need to have a degree to get out there and look around at things. You don't need to have a degree to have a, you know, intelligent mind and logical approach to doing things. So right. A degree is really irrelevant to this. And we don't. The only reason that we would need academic science involved in this is because they are going to prove it to themselves.
Sure, right.
We already know it's real. You know, a lot of the public has figured that out. Eventually, most of the public is going to figure it out. And so if the scientists suddenly decide they want to look into it and they admit that it's real, what's really going to change?
Yep, that's a good point. That's a really good point. I think you're right. You know, the one thing that's been really when I first started doing this, first started looking into these rabbit holes and first started, you know, finding out what people are talking about and what the claims are, I have to tell you, the one thing that I had the hardest time with was the idea of people claiming mind speak. And but the more that I investigate it, the more that I hear from witnesses, the more that I hear from even, you know, what we term as, you know, credible people, like someone like Les Stroud, for instance, he talks about mind speak. And so many other people have claimed, I heard it in my mind. I could hear the words in my head. And I'm starting to think that there very well may be something to that. And it's kind of tough because, you know, I tend to be very open-minded, but sometimes those claims just come out of left field and you don't know how to process it. It's like, well, what does that mean? How does this equate? Well, you know, is this because I think largely my bias was to believe that this is some form of ancient hominid or primate, that somehow has evaded discovery. But once you start, you know, acknowledging the fact that it may be able to mind speak to you directly and hear you directly, then it becomes something so much more. And, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that, Duke? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you about, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have gave it much weight at mm-hmm. all. But I'm now in contact with so many researchers that I really believe and that do have evidence. And, you know, I've been out in the field with some of them. I think there is something like that going on, definitely. I've even had my own experience of that when I was on the camp down at the Blackfoot River, and we were down in the same area for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And we knew that there was a big male that was on the other side of the river. He had this little thicket he'd sleep in during the day, and at night he'd come out and he'd come across the river and he'd pick up all the free fish he was getting. The reason there were free fish there is because there was a place where you could pull off the freeway there that was right next to the river, and all the locals fished there. Mm-hmm. So there's this little landing there. You can pull your boat. You know, you can't really boat it, but you can pull your car up there, and you can go fish along the riverbank. Well, there's some rough fish in the river, and of course the local rule is if you catch the rough fish, you throw them up on the bank, let them die.
Oh, okay.
And then Bigfoot waits until shortly after dark and all the humans have left, and he walks across the river and picks up all the yummy fish that are laying there waiting for him and eats them all as he goes about his business for the rest of the night, and finding and devouring everything in sight, which is pretty much what they do. So we got to hear him, you know, like almost several nights a week, almost every night. You could hear those big rocks down on the beach clacking and smacking together. And you could, you know, you knew for a fact it wasn't a human because we walked across there all the time and the rocks didn't move. We mm-hmm. weren't big and heavy enough.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was kind of creepy. And then the one time we caught him actually down in the river, turning over rocks in the middle of the river, pulling out clams or whatever the hell it was. He was in that river for 45 minutes, and just icy cold, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the point is not so much that they aren't subjective to hypothermia, which apparently they aren't. The point here is that during that whole long period of being there and this going on all the time, I had one experience where I was out gathering firewood for the little cheery campfire that we were going to have. And I was way up the beach. I was probably directly across from where they actually had their little daytime hiding spot on the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ripping this branch off of this deadfall, and all of a sudden I got this really weird impression, and it wasn't like words. It was just an impression that there was this female presence on the other side of the river, and it liked me. And this is just the weirdest thing, because it's like I'm in the middle of doing something, and I'm thinking about something else, and all of a sudden there's this third thought intruding, and you're just going, what the hell is this?
Wow. That's
so, that's, yeah, and it may have been the same one that kept sneaking into our camp and stealing tidbits from us all the time. I actually got to see that one when my buddy got out of his tent and spooked it. It walked away from his tent, and it didn't realize I had already quietly crawled out of my tent about 40 feet away and was sitting in my camp chair watching, because he had a light on over there, and I didn't. Ooh. And when his tent started moving, it got up and walked away, and I saw it perfectly in the light. It threw this giant shadow on the tree as it walked past it. And for a second, I thought it was him. He got up out of his tent, and when he walked past the light, he was right next to it, threw this giant shadow. And so I said, "You okay over there?" And he went, "Yeah, fine." And then he got up and started walking past that same tree, and no, it was a normal human-sized shadow. Oh, it was an 8-foot tall and patty-shaped. And I went, "Oh, crap, that was really a Bigfoot."
Oh, man, that's intense.
Yeah, when it's about 40 feet away. That's the only time I've ever got the drop on one of them. She must have just been so intent on, digging food out of his cooler or something that she didn't hear me quietly crawl out of the tent 40 feet away. Of course, mm-hmm. I was on the other side of a thicket and stuff, too.
Right.
And usually I had my tent zipped up, and this was one of those rare cases where I just left it unzipped so I could crawl right out without making a noise.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. And I imagine their senses, being as they're out there all the time, must be just so much more dialed in and tuned up than ours are. So I think it's next to impossible to sneak up on them, but you do hear that it happens.
Rarely. And it's usually, you know, and it's not usually a situation like this. I can't hardly believe that I managed to actually get that, you know, look at her gallivanting away. And by the time she went past that tree, she wasn't no 40 feet away. She was probably closer to 25 feet away from where I was sitting.
Oh, my God.
So that was pretty close. I mean, it was the dark, so you couldn't make out anything. But you could see from the camp light that he had over there in his camp on the other side of the thicket, you could make out where the thicket thinned out, and you had to walk past this huge tree and then take a right turn and go down the trail to the river, and that's where it went. So I got to see it as it came, as it cleared the thicket, went around the tree, and went down to the river. The light from the camp light threw a perfect, you know, silhouette of it on as it was walking through there. So that was pretty creepy. And usually you don't expect that. That's so rare. And most of the time that it happens with people, it's like, you know, they're just in a place where they normally wouldn't be, and they sit down to rest, and everything's quiet, and they kind of just sit there for a while, and then they start hearing something, and something just goes walking past, and they randomly see it.
Yeah.
And the only reason they did is because there's not normally humans there. They're not making any noise. There's no reason for a human to be there.
Sure. Right. That's true. Now, another instance that I think is kind of a famous one, and I'm sure you must have seen it. It's a video that's coming out of allegedly down in Florida, and I can't remember who put it out, but it's basically a person is in, you know, in the Everglades area, I'm assuming, and they're in this swampy area, and up ahead is this what looks like a skunk ape or Bigfoot. It's back to him, but it's right by this huge tree trunk, and this thing is like breaking off parts of this tree, and you can hear him like snap. Like it's not punky wood. It's like snap as it pulls things off, and it's echoing out there. But this guy ends up behind it and is filming it with his camera. And I don't know what it is about that footage, but I'm really kind of convinced that, just, you know, on face value, I'm thinking it's legit. Because when you see the body mechanics this thing is using when it's pulling off these chunks of tree that snap, like they're making huge snapping sounds, it's doing it with one arm, pulling in an outward direction with its, you know, with its arm up at about chest level, palm facing outward, grabbing onto this thing and pulling off to the side, and you hear the snap. So you know this is incredibly robust wood chunks it's pulling off. And it's, I don't know, I assume digging for grubs or something. But have you seen that footage that I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I've looked at that a number of times. And I think, you know, if I wasn't there, don't know for sure.
Right.
But just judging by looking at the video, looks legit to me. My question when I saw it was, is this a Bigfoot or a gorilla? Because it looked so much like a gorilla. It was like, does somebody have a pet gorilla and they just let it, you know, like go hang out and rip some bark off and I'll film you or something, you know. Because this legit does not look like a human in a suit.
No.
And what it's doing, it's standing in the water in the swampy area ripping the bark off this tree.
Yeah.
Well, who in God's name in their right mind is going to do that?
Right. You know, and it's the part that really surprises me is you don't really know it, but at the, you know, this thing is squatting down, doing this in a squatted position, grabbing, you know, peeling off these chunks of tree. But then it stands up and you can see that, you know, the legs, of course, are much longer than you'd expect your gorillas to be.
Yep.
But you're right. From the back, it does really have those really primate gorilla, you know, lines and shape. So. But I just was blown away by that. But that's certainly a case of somebody, if it is indeed legit. And ladies and gentlemen, if, you know, out there, nobody can know for sure except for the person that took the video whether or not this was legit or not. But with what I am seeing, I don't see anything in there that's like an enormous red flag other than the fact that he was able to come up behind one and record it, which it kind of, you know, it kind of sounds incredible. But obviously this thing was making quite a bit of racket, pulling off chunks of tree. So it's not beyond reason that they can be snuck up on. It just doesn't happen often. But, you know, and then the next thing you know, of course, he's, you know, once that thing stands up, he's like, ooh, and then he starts bolting away in the brush and stuff. And I assume it didn't pursue him because, you know, he made it back and was able to show the video. But I thought that was so unique and interesting. And, you know, the funny thing is with that, Duke, and I'm kind of spiderwebbing now, but so many people go, oh, fake. You know, they don't offer any rational or reason why they're just defaulting to fake. But they do. They just throw out fake, like, oh, that's so fake. That's so fake. And that kind of thing really drives me nuts, because it's like, I don't mind that people may not believe the clip, but at least quantify why that's fake. You know, put some logic behind it. Put some reasoning behind it. Don't just, you know, come from this high horse from your recliner, you know, being, you know, judge and jury of all videos on YouTube. Well, this is fake. This is fake. This is fake. You know, but I just found that video to be so compelling. And granted, it doesn't give you much to go on other than the back view of this thing. But again, the thing that really stuck out to me was the body mechanics it was using to pull off these robust pieces of wood, you know, that weren't just punky and just kind of going, you know, like some kind of squishy noise or something.
No, you could hear the actual wood ripping as it was tearing these things off. And it wasn't using like, it wasn't bracing with its legs and pulling with its whole body or something. It was just using its right arm and tearing it casually off. It was no big deal.
Like it was ripping off the top of a chip bag or something.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. Other thing is, when you look at this, if you see the very beginning of it, he wasn't that close to it. He zoomed into it. Yeah. And this thing's making a racket tearing this tree apart. It is entirely believable that he could have gotten that close while it was making that much noise, as long as he was trying to be fairly stealthy, and it looked like he was.
Yeah. And you can tell that it had to lean into one of those poles like twice. It leaned into it once and then came back and leaned into it much more. And then the piece came off. But on one of those cracks, you can actually hear it like echoing around in the, you know, through the microphone. You can hear that it's got like ambience. So that's a hell of a snap.
Yeah. This isn't like some Hollywood level film production or something, you know. It's got to be pretty loud for that little ambient mic on there to pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that one's really bizarre. But I guess that kind of segues into the discussion that I want to have with you on the other side of the break. And that is, you know, what do you think about these kind of things? So, you know, do you think there's a lot of legitimate material that's just getting dismissed or whatever? But ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna go to a break quick, so don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Duke Sullivan and our discussion about the Bigfoots and other cryptids out there. So we'll be right back. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Gentlemen, we are back, and I, of course, am joined today by a wonderful friend of ours, Mr. Duke Sullivan of World Bigfoot Radio, who's joining me today on the podcast to discuss the Bigfoot and other cryptids, and we're heading down the path. Before the break, Duke, we were talking about the video coming out of what appears to be Florida or the Everglades or something, and it's of a guy that allegedly films coming up behind what looks like a skunk ape. And you and I both agree that at least there's some really compelling things about this video that could lend credibility to it being legitimate. In fact, I don't see anything on the video itself that is a giveaway that it's not legitimate. But do you see that? I mean, you must see that all the time with people just dismissing, outright dismissal of things just because, I don't know, they feel compelled to or whatever. But do you think that happens a lot, that people have a lot of great material that just gets kind of buried because of that?
Yeah, because there's too many trolls and they don't want to get attacked, and so they just don't bother to share it. I get people to share things to me that will not share them publicly. Mm. And some of it's really dino. And too bad, public, you're never going to see it because there's too many trolls out there.
Well, I tell you, one thing that I really do, and I really do speak up against that when I see it, as much as I can, is just, and it's not that I'm trying to, to get into a war of words with these idiots, but I at least say, I shouldn't say idiots, I guess, but these people, I ask them, okay, what are you seeing that makes you believe this is not legitimate? I really, because I really genuinely want to know. And I've cited this example before, but I'll tell you what happened. There was once this picture that was shown on I think it was a Facebook group that I belonged to, and it was, or I did belong to anyway. I don't know if I'm still in it, but it was called Bigfoot Believers Only, and somebody had posted this picture of this ambiguous furry thing, and it was absolutely unrecognizable to me. I couldn't make heads or tails out of what the hell I was seeing. But, of course, the thread was, what do you guys think this is? Is this a dog, man? Is it a Bigfoot? What is this? And, of course, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I can totally see it's a Bigfoot. Some people, of course, are jumping right on the bandwagon, with no other rationale than that I believe they just wanted to believe that it was a capture of something amazing like that. And I just didn't have an opinion, and I was looking at it. And there was a guy who came on and said, that's a deer. And of course, people attacked him right away. People went all over. Oh, you're full of full of crap, and what a bunch of garbage. Why do you waste your time? And so the dude took the picture, and used the computer to trace the lines, and showed exactly the pose this deer was in, and pasted it back up in the comment thread. As soon as he did that, that was a deer. It absolutely was a deer, but it was such an awkward pose that I couldn't see that with my eyes. I was looking at that for, quite a long time, not able to make heads or tails of it. But because that guy in his, his sight was able to see that form and able to explain it and represent it, he was absolutely right. It was a deer. And all of a sudden the comments went dead, because he was right. But that's what I would hope that people would offer then, if they're going to make these statements, well, this is a bunch of crap, is, okay, well, why? What are you seeing? Because if you're seeing something, I really do want to understand what you're seeing. Because it's not that I have to be right, it's that I want to understand. So I try to challenge those things when they come up. But, I think you're right. I think that it's become such a liability for people to share things, because, one, they're either going to get attacked because of people that are just fake, or, two, maybe it's just because they I don't know. Maybe they don't want all the attention, obviously, but maybe there's the second option, is that they won't get any objective feedback because there's other people that just want to jump on and say, well, that's a Bigfoot,
Yeah, I agree. The objective feedback thing would be nice to get, and you don't get a whole lot of it. And, usually part of the reason why you get this whole automatic knee jerk fake reaction is because there's two things going on here. First of all, is that there's the generation that grew up feeling sheltered and entitled and think that they're special and they're what they think about something is important somehow. Sure. And that they should share it with everyone. Well, newsflash, it isn't important. You shouldn't share it with everyone unless you've actually got something impertinent or salient to say. Maybe you should just zip it, because like they say, it's one thing to be thought a complete ass clown and fool, but you shouldn't open your mouth and remove all doubt. And people that want to just say fake with nothing to back it up, here's what's going on. This piece of evidence threatens their worldview. It threatens their paradigm. It threatens the little glass house they live in. Sure. And their knee-jerk reaction is that they need to combat that, because it's such a blow to their worldview that they just simply can't accommodate it without doing a whole pile of mental gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a lot easier to just go, oh, that's fake.
Right. No, I agree. I think you're absolutely right. I don't know where the golden place is going to be for this, where people can, feel like they can share things. Because I really believe there's a lot of, like you said, and you alluded to this, that you have seen evidence that was absolutely amazing, but those very same people that captured it are not willing to enter that public fray and deal with that. And I got to say, I can't blame them.
No, and the ones that are getting the more amazing stuff are even less, forthcoming. They're more reluctant to get into the public arena and show any of it because they just know they're going to get hammered. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple people that I'm in contact with in another state, and they've got a what they claim is a portal on their property. There's more than one. One of them stationary, and they even know what time of day it opens and closes.
Wow.
So they've got this thing just covered with trail cams. They've got a whole bunch of other areas around there covered with trail cams. They've been researching this area for 20 years. They show me stuff they're finding all the time. If I showed the public like 5% of it, they would flip the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not, you know, until these guys decide they want to do something on their own and figure out some way to do it, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. But I think that the fact that the narrative is going on is at least something encouraging. I also think that the fact that a lot of people are fed up with the BS around, you know, around the conflict in the communities and the egos that are at work, trying to gain that glory hold of, you know, I said hold.
H-O-L-D. There was a D
at the end, just so you know, for the record. But they want that chance of glory. And so I think that some of this, you know, is also spurned by those people that they want their group to be right and the other groups to be wrong. And they want their group to be the ones that really put it on the map and make it real for everyone else. And, you know, and I know there's money floating out there about this too. You know, I've heard the millions of dollars if you can produce a body, and maybe that's true. Maybe it's not, I don't know. But I mean, if that's your sole motivation for trying to, you know, bring something forward, then you probably, you know, need to really look at your priorities. But, you know, it's the passionate people that'll really, I think, eventually be able to create such a compelling argument that at least it'll be taken a lot more seriously.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, there's other things that are keeping people from doing anything like producing evidence. Like, you know, scientists always go, well, we're not going to accept Bigfoot's real until we have a body.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Have you bothered to look into the Undiscovered Species Act? Because that prescribes a 10-year stay in a penitentiary, a federal penitentiary, or a $10 million fine in the event that you actually kill one of these things and bring it in.
Oh, really?
Okay. So that kind of kills our motivation to bring in your evidence, huh?
Well, and maybe that's the barrier, right? So maybe if there is indeed a concerted effort not to disclose these beings, maybe that's why, is that they're creating a barrier that nobody can really cross. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that are trying, I think, but, you know, then we get back into the mind speak, because if they really are telepathic, then I think pretty much any effort to do something like that is going to fail.
Oh, yeah. Even with their wilderness skills and their physical abilities alone, they could, you know, they can stay away from our stupid cloud-like attempts. Yeah. You know, we have these things around military bases and stuff, and you hear the stories about them sending special forces guys in to go and clear these things away from the base, and they can't keep up with them. They can't catch them.
Right. Now, you must have heard those. Speaking of that, I guess this is kind of controversial, but have you heard the claims of kill teams and stuff going out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I actually know somebody that claims that they were part of one of those kill teams a long time ago.
Mm.
And that they were collecting samples for the government to do research on.
Wow. So you think they are successful, though, when they go out?
Well, I think when they have enough information on what it is they're doing and how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an episode on Sasquatch Chronicles where they talked about that. There's a certain frequency that if you broadcast it, it apparently irritates the living beep out of most of the cryptids within earshot, and they'll show up just to silence the noise, and then you can shoot whatever the heck you want.
Oh, okay, so it's just a really specific form of bait.
Specific frequency that'll cause them to go nutso, and they'll show up and try and stop it, yeah.
Oh, well, that's seems rather unsporting, doesn't it?
Certainly does, but, you know, it whatever means necessary when you're trying to collect a specimen, I guess.
Yeah, well, there you go.
The thing that I found disturbing about this is that they weren't just doing that. They were also involved in problem control. And their way of thinking of what's a problem is First of all, like if one of these cryptids is making a bunch of people disappear, mm-hmm. that's a problem.
Oh, sure.
But the flip side of this is if one of these cryptids is too friendly and people are seeing it and taking pictures and interacting with it, that's a problem. They also want to kill that one.
Oh, okay. That's too bad. No, I've heard some people say, well, you know, maybe we can like bring them into our world or something like that. And I think that that's probably a pretty fantastical idea. And I'm not sure why I brought it up other than the fact that when you mentioned one being really friendly and stuff, you think, well, is it possible? Is there a possibility to create that commonality and to create, you know, a relationship that may grow and develop into something more? And, you know, I would really like to believe that it may be possible, but at the same time, I would think, God, you know, I don't know. We're just pretty tough on our world. And I think that the fact that they stay hidden is the only reason they're still around.
Well, that's it, you know, and from their standpoint, we're just indecipherable and weird, and they can't figure out what motivates us and why we do things. And so that doesn't give you a whole lot of bridge right there. And the other thing is that they seem, at least on the surface of it, like they live a pretty much primitive, bare bones, right in nature sort of existence. Mm-hmm. And that being the case with us, with our big crutch of technology, we have even less in common with them. And then you have the fact that usually when they're interacting with us, somebody's trying to shoot at them. Well, that doesn't particularly make them friendly. you know, so we've got all of these bad things combined. Yeah. And then probably on top of all that, they probably think a lot differently than we do. Mm. Even if we had, you know, somehow had a baby Bigfoot and a baby human that were raised by the same parents somehow, they might still have radically different ways of thinking and doing things. It could be just, you know, ingrained into what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a great point because, you know, and just for example, within our own spectrum of existence, we have, of course, what we consider quote-unquote normal, and then we have, of course, those children or people that are considered with a disability, you know, and including mental disabilities. And even autism spectrum is considered by many to be a disability, and retardation, of course, is another. And each of those types of people require a very specific approach in order to educate them and to train them, you know, to grow and develop within our society. So you're right. I can only imagine how broadly that difference would be, you know, just the way that they reason, the way that they function. I'm sure there'd be some basic commonalities, but there could be a whole different, you know, whole different methodology that would be needed that we wouldn't even begin to understand.
Yeah. Now, think about it. If you were, you know, let's metaphorically say, you know, you're living in one house and you got a big picket fence that's like 6 feet tall, and the other house next to you, there's a Bigfoot living in it. And you tell the Bigfoot, hey, you know, you seem like a nice neighbor. Why don't you come on over and visit? Well, the Bigfoot looks over the picket fence and it looks like you got a freaking junkyard there. And he goes, no. I think I'll stay in my nice backyard with all the chirpy birds and the trees and the leaves and the grass and stuff.
Right.
And then you go, well, do you mind if I come over into your yard? And then he looks again in your yard and goes, you have to?
Yeah, no, I think me and the missus are busy.
No, it's okay. We'll only stay for a little while. Okay, if you're only going to stay for a little while. And then you like show up with a chainsaw and you cut a couple trees down and you take your rifle and blast one of the deer there and haul that away. And he's like, yeah. Dude, you're not a good neighbor.
Yeah. You're no longer on the Christmas list.
I'm not sending you a Squatchmas card. Knock it off. You're not being good.
No, that's a good point. You know, we certainly don't live in balance, for one, with our surroundings. We totally just change it to accommodate our own comfort. And that certainly isn't the way that they live or don't appear to live that way. Let me ask you, do you think that we're moving closer to understanding these things or to at least substantiating them within our collective psyche? Or do you think that we're just as far away now as we ever been?
No, absolutely. We're getting closer. Just the amount of information that's been going out on the internet in the last 10 years is mind-boggling. Go back to 10 years ago and look at what was available and look at what's available now. There's no comparison.
Okay.
It's going very rapidly forward compared to the utter stagnation of the previous 30 years.
Hmm.
And yeah. I would agree with a bunch of people that have a very skeptical view on that because, yeah, for about 30 years it didn't go anywhere. And then all of a sudden people started getting in contact with each other. And that's really what's making the difference.
Sure.
Is the actual open-minded researchers are talking to each other finally and sharing information. So, you know, it's like I said at the beginning of this thing, who's the Da Vinci of Bigfoot? Because that's who it's going to take to solve this by themselves. So that's really unrealistic. Mm-hmm. We need to work more toward get the people that are on the same page to actually be motivated to work with each other. And, you know, quit trying to think that they're going to be the one lone guy that's going to solve it.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that makes me hopeful in this regard is that a lot of the more knowledgeable guys that I've been talking to that have been doing this for decades are actually on that page. Like, hey, man, I'm not the one that's going to prove anything, but I'll help these other guys. What do you want to know?
Right.
Right on. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I'm hopeful, you know, that it will. And I guess I'm kind of torn, to be honest with you, Duke. And the reason why I would love for there to be definitive proof and that finally everybody goes, oh, okay, they're out there, you know, they are out there, they exist. And it would be nice to, in some ways, to have that, that acceptance of this fact. But the thing that really concerns me is, and I alluded a little bit to it before, but we generally destroy what we love, you know, and I just worry that if it ever becomes commonly accepted belief that, yes, there's Bigfoot out there, there's other things out there, what will that mean? Will that mean that hundreds of thousands of more people will start hitting the forests looking for them and essentially trampling the habitat that they have to try to, you know, take the kids on the safari, the Bigfoot safari or something? What will it mean to our natural resources to have that many more people trampling out there, throwing their trash around, you know, decimating areas and probably forever upsetting the equilibrium of some of these environments?
I don't see it happening. If they actually said that these things are real, they're going to do the exact same thing with them they do with things like the grizzlies, where they have areas that go, oh, you can't come in here because this is a grizzly blah, blah, blah area. We know they're in here. Don't go in here. And they're going to have other areas where it's going to be light use. You can be in here during the day, but not at night.
Hmm.
Stay within 50 feet of the trail. Don't wander too far off. You know, actually, it's going to be a lot easier to do than it is with bears because Bigfoot can understand these things to a certain extent. And within a short period, they'll accustom to, yeah, the humans only go down this one trail and they stay within 50 feet of it. No problem. Leave them alone. Okay. Bears will never figure that out.
Sure.
They'll figure out that you smell like food, you've got food with you, and they'll follow you and try and get food, or you are food, yep. Or, you know, that's just the way bears think. So there's a lot of hope in that, you know, and I like to use Montana as an example. We make the vast majority of the money in this state comes from tourism. People want to come here. They want to camp. They want to hike. They want to do all that stuff. Simultaneously, we are the animal attack capital of the continent, even surpassing Alaska.
Oh.
So if it was so scary because there's grizzlies here that are likely to maul you that nobody would ever show up and go camping, it would have happened already.
Right.
So the only difference with Bigfoot is that they are actually a little bit more like us and probably a little more rational, a little more easy to make sense of than probably, you know, some other animals that I could think of. So it's going to just make it a little bit easier to actually control it, you know, and obviously they're not going to let people go hunt Bigfoot.
Right.
If you shoot one, it's going to be like giant fine or, you know, prison sentence for murder, depending on how they decide to classify them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't really see it as being an issue. It's mostly about the power structure and how they're trying to control the scientific narrative and how much of a gigantic monkey wrench Bigfoot throws in that if they have to admit that he's real.
Well, you're absolutely right, brother. I agree. I think you got it right, and hopefully we'll all get to that place. But we're kind of winding down to the end here, and I want to make sure you have enough time to let people know how to stay in touch with what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a new radio show on the same network as you do, TFR Live. So if anybody wants to check that out, it's Saturday at 10 o'clock Pacific. I'm also, of course, turning out a weekly, and in this case, twice this week, show video format on World Bigfoot Radio on YouTube. And you can also find that, by the way, on BitChute and on library.com. I'm on those platforms, too. And let's see, what else do we got going here? Oh, go get some swag. I got a couple mugs available at Teesprings, World Bigfoot Central, and they're cool. One's a Wendigo mug, and one is the main show logo. So if you guys want to help support the show and you want a really cool mug, go grab one.
So that's
other than that, that's it.
Is that teespring.com/stores/ is it World Bigfoot Radio, all one word, or is it hyphenated in there?
World Bigfoot Central, and it's hyphens.
World Bigfoot Central hyphenated. Okay. Well, very good, guys. Get out there and help support Duke in his shows and show him some love. And thank you so much, brother, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. I'm going to have you back on my show here again sometime soon when I drag you out in the woods and make you go see Bigfoot.
I'm always game, brother. I'm always game.
I know. I appreciate it, buddy. That's what a lot of people like about you. You not only talk the talk, you walk the walk.
I do. I do my best. I'm still fat and out of shape, but I'm working on it. So. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up our show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will continue to spread the good word about the Paranormal Portal podcast. I am just thrilled, as always, to be doing these shows. And I'm even more thrilled at the kind, loving support you guys have been giving us. So thank you so much for that. Again, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Paranormal Portal Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And definitely check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paranormal Portal. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of shows that we've streamed there live that are in our archives. And live shows are streaming every night at 7 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube. So if you want to check it out, see what it's like to see us do this in person, you can certainly do that. We'll be there waiting for you. But I love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day. And remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody. And don't hug the Wookiees. Amen, brother.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.